This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Or, indeed, you can email them to onair@joy.org.au, which Terry has done. And now that Martin Foley has left us, I can read his message out. It says, "I hate the Labour Party, but I love your show. Maybe it's being a business owner that puts me off Julia and her shonky lot. P.S. But, of course, I support gay marriage." Well, thanks for that, Terry. We're all political shades here at Joy, from green to blue to red to yellow to whatever else, and some colours you've probably never seen before. It is, after all, a rainbow community, politically as well as sexually. Now, it's not just an issue here in Australia, marriage. It's also an issue in the US, and probably a more fraught issue over there than here. It seems to generate a lot more passion, and it's currently generating a lot of passion in New York, where the Senate there has been teetering on the brink of having a vote on the issue of legalizing same-sex marriage for what seems like about a week now. Our Washington correspondent Harley Dennett is on the line to tell us some more about it. Good afternoon, Harley.
Hello, Doug.
So what's happening in New York? What's the state of play at the moment?
Well, it's a pretty exciting time. It's two really big events that have coincided quite accidentally. Barack Obama's in town. He's making history today by holding, he's the first US president to hold an LGBT campaign fundraiser. He's obviously seeking re-election to the presidency. And this has never happened before in America, because Bush never did, obviously, and Clinton never got around to doing it. And it's created some mixed views, mixed impressions, because he doesn't support marriage equality yet. His campaign team has leaked stories over the last couple of months that he's evolving on the issue.
Yes, I like that word, evolving.
And so that led to protest groups saying, "Well, evolve already, get there." So he's in New York right at this very moment, asking the LGBT community for money to get re-elected. At the same time as he's saying that officially, at this very point in time, he does not recognise their equal rights to marry. So it's created a little bit of a tension, and that's playing off on the fact that, also at this time, further upstate in Albany, we've got the state Senate is currently debating same-sex marriage, and the vote on that is evenly split, I'm told, right at this very moment. There was a couple of Republicans who switched across to say yes, and then there was a couple that switched back to say no. And it's right at this moment, it's just on 11 p.m. or getting close to 11 p.m. here now, and they're expecting the final vote won't take place until 3 a.m. So I don't have an answer for you yet.
Sounds kind of familiar. we just had one of those here, didn't we, where the changes to the Equal Opportunity Act were rammed through at 3 a.m. in the morning when everyone was too tired to think. So the actual debate is happening at the moment.
Oh, well, no, actually, we're in recess right at this very moment. Because they're in the Rules Committee. They're trying to hammer out the last few... What they're trying to do before it comes to a vote, and this is all strategy, because the Republicans... It's a Republican-controlled Senate, so there needs to be more Republicans coming across to the Democrat side for this to pass.
Right.
But in the seats that they're holding, that's electorally risky for them. They could lose their seats if the conservative voters in their seats don't like the idea of marriage equality. So what they have to do is they have to make sure that they don't win by one vote. They have to make sure they win by four or five votes so that no one person can be said that was the person.
So they're trying to avoid having a scapegoat. Yeah, they're trying to avoid setting up a scapegoat.
Yes, so what they have to do is they have to get just enough people. So they do have the votes, I'm told, but if they have a vote right now, it's pretty evenly split, because The people who've said yes, they will vote for it, won't actually do so until they have that extra few people. So that's what they're working on now. The debate that's been taking place over the last couple of days has really been about religious exemptions, which you guys in Victoria would know well about how fraught that can be.
Yes.
It's a bit specious, really. The idea of religious exemptions is a fairly null and void, really, because churches have never had to marry people if they don't want to. And the what they're actually fighting about is whether civil servants, the person who in a civil marriage actually performs the marriage, whether or not they can opt out themselves because of their personal religious beliefs in their government function. So that's what they're... That's maybe what this turns on.
Okay, because the other thing I was hearing in reports was that they wanted to make sure that the exemptions were, I think the phrase was, solid. In other words, that they couldn't be challenged in court at a later date if, for example, a church refused to hire out its hall to a gay couple who wanted to hold their wedding reception there or whatever. They wanted to make sure there were kind of no loopholes. Was that just a bit of political play around, do you think?
Oh, all of these things have been simply delaying tactics, to be honest, because in the states that have enacted this, when challenges have been made, none of those challenges have overturned the what was written into the law. So as many people have started come to realise that in America, the courts aren't quite prepared at this stage to accept the entire LGBT community as being a protected class, like racial minorities and religious minorities. So it doesn't have that extended protection that judges can come in and change laws where they, change them so that religious groups could end up having to shut down their services and things like that.
The dreaded judicial activism.
Yeah. but until the Supreme Court steps in, none of that makes any sense. Like, none of that is a legitimate argument. It's not going to happen. And it's a conservative Supreme Court, so that's not going to happen, you know, probably not for a few decades.
Now, suppose this falls over, right? Suppose it does not go through in New York. The gay community's had, in America, has had a series of defeats and reversals over same-sex marriage in recent times. Momentum has kind of stalled. And if this stalls as well, will that prompt a rethink, do you think? Will that make the gay community stop pushing for gay marriage?
Actually, the third rethink in a row, because there was a major one after Prop 8 failed. That was a major wake-up call to the American activists who had pumped millions and millions of dollars into that campaign, and now they're all feeling really broke. It happened right next to where I am in the state of Maryland.
They're not going to have much money for Barack then, are they?
No. Oh, I should tell you, the amount of money that he was charging just for people to get in the door was $1,250 just to get in the door at this gala fundraiser. And then, of course, you're expected to donate throughout the night as events happen. So we're talking about the well-heeled crowd in New York.
The A-list gays. Christina wants to come in here. Christina Antoniadis.
Hi, Harley. Do you think that there's been any impact on this vote and where it's going due to the fact that New York is basically, as I understand, the most populous US state to actually allow gay marriage if it goes through? I mean, in reality, that would be a major movement and a huge victory for gay rights.
In the United States, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to consider that Mexico City also passed same-sex marriage, and it's about the same size as New York.
Sure.
So there are huge populations that already have same-sex marriage. But in New York, in America, New York is incredibly culturally significant. We all talk about Hollywood and how powerful it is, and yes, Prop 8 was a big deal. But New York is what really runs America, not Washington, not Hollywood. And when that state originally allowed external same-sex marriages to be recognized in the state, so you couldn't get married in New York, but if you were married somewhere else and you went to New York, they would recognize it. That created built upon an existing momentum. So it's not really contentious in New York at all, except in those few little districts where the Republican senators currently hold the balance of power. So if this happens, it will have a huge impact on New York, and that will then flow through to the rest of the country. But the thing that's really holding up the progression of marriage as an issue is the fact that the president has not yet said that he supports same-sex marriage. And it's such an odd thing, because tonight he sort of repeated what he'd said in the past, that he said that he believed that discrimination against people was wrong. He said that gay couples deserve the same legal rights as every other couple in this country. And how can you say that and then not
and then not say you're in favour of marriage? Yeah.
It seems contradictory, or at least it doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's really what's holding up the country at this point.
Well, I mean, we're in a similar situation.
Everyone looks to the president for leadership.
Yeah, well, I think we're in a similar situation here in one respect, because let's be frank here. I think everybody believes, I would go so far as to say knows, that Barack Obama is basically in favour of gay marriage. Same way that everybody knows that, privately speaking, Julia Gillard is in favour of gay marriage. But they cannot say so publicly for a variety of political reasons. And that's why they come across as being so insincere and so flat and so confusing on this issue, because they're divided internally themselves. And I think that's the problem there. Harley, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry we haven't got a vote so far. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Will do.
All right. Thanks very much for your time. That was Harley Dennett in Washington over there. Just before we start to wrap up, there's a message here from Jenny, who says, having creative lobby groups and people like Alex Greenwich with the Gay Marriage Alliance shows up how far behind political parties are in their message and political sexiness and appeal to the next generation. I can see Keza grinning there. No wonder political party memberships are in decline. Ted Bailey on radio this morning, very cagey and a complex character with the media. Are we getting less spin, but the same level of spin doctors as the last government? Be interesting to see if Bailey grows in his role and shows his small L sides. Okay, well, I'm afraid that's it for this week. My thanks to Harley Dennett over there in Washington, to Martin Foley, to John Hyde in Western Australia, Andrew Detmer in Queensland, and of course Christina Antoniadis from Nichols Family Law here in the studio with me. I would send greetings to my researcher and producer, Douglas Sanz Pareja, but he's still on his silent retreat. Unless he's had a major revelation, he'll be back next week. Keza, as usual, has done a tremendous job of technical production here on the panel, and we'll be doing the podcast for you shortly. Check out the page The Rainbow Reporter on Facebook, and podcasts will be available, as usual, via joy.org.au. I'll see you same time next week with another Rainbow Report.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.